good thing that it's dark music.
Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening, good morning, good day to you wherever you are on this planet. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. Good to have you here for this episode on August 8th, 2012. And I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Good to be here. August 8th, 2012. That's where we are today.
Mm-hmm. We have about five months left. Yeah, before we all die. All right. So anyway, we welcome everybody listening to the live broadcast tonight, as well as those listening to the archive. Metaphysical Universe is an educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, where we explore the human spirit, empower the human spirit, explore science and spirituality, and all that stuff. So we're glad you could join us tonight, or at least on the archive. And of course, we have Dr. John Hightower screening calls. So if you're listening to the live program and you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. You can dial in the numbers there on your screen, 714-459-3973. Or if you're in the chat room, you can ask questions there too. So we will look into that, or look forward to hearing from you. Now, tonight, we're going to be talking in just a few minutes about how to become a spiritual counselor, life coach, and or hypnotist. We're going to talk about the need for spiritual counselors in these related fields, and you know what's involved in becoming one. And of course, and we're also going to touch on how to choose one if you ever need to see one. So we'll get to those. I wanted to just talk about a couple of things in the news, talk a little bit about the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, what it is, talk a little bit about the school, and we'll talk about the Metaphysics Institute as we go through the spiritual counseling stuff too. But you know, I've been looking at the news the last week or two, which I don't normally do. I have to give up that habit, you know? I got to stop that. Don't go there.
Don't go there, Doug.
But, you know, there's just some interesting things happening, and it has got me thinking about what an incredible belief system that MCHS has. And if you're not familiar with it, go visit mchschurch.org and look at the principles of belief. We've talked about those principles of belief on several of our previous episodes, and they're in the archives if you want to look them up. But some of the stories in the news, you know, in Mississippi, a black couple can't get married in their church because some of the members objected to that. And, of course, I think they've issued an apology now. But, you know, I'm thinking, wow, in this day and age, really? You know, and then I look at the world news and over in Pakistan, or I know at least in Pakistan, a couple was paraded nude down the road because they were, you know, committing, quote, adultery, unquote, and either in Pakistan or Afghanistan or somewhere over there in the Middle East, another couple was stoned to death for the same thing, for adultery. You know, and I just look at these belief systems around the world, and I just can't understand it anymore. You know, these, you know, and then there's Westboro Baptist Church, you know, they're protesting at the funerals of soldiers and so forth, talking about how America is doomed, and I just can't help but wonder, you know, where would Jesus be there? You know, would he be there with them too? They're Jesus, you know. And one of the things I'm just compelled to say, you know, we're not going to get anywhere with that kind of stuff, folks. Religion has all but killed humanity. It's what drives the strife and the wars, and always has in human affairs. And we have to get to the point where we really buy into the whole concept of do no harm and do right. And those are the two foundational principles of the belief system of MCHS Church. It's a healthy belief system. It's a beautiful belief system. You know, it celebrates the individual. It empowers the individual. It's a human-centered philosophy. It teaches you that you don't need anything else other than you. You know, be your own counselor. Be your own guru. And speaking of counseling, which we will in a moment. But this is a message that needs to get spread. I mean, after all, we are a church, and we need to spread this because it is a healthy belief system, the healthiest I've ever seen and healthiest I know of, because it does not recommend that you go anywhere else or look anywhere else for what you need because it's all within you. And I just want to get this message out. I have the calling too, if you will, to get this message out that people need practical life skills. They need to know that they are fine. They need to know that they don't need anything else outside themselves. Look, you know, go educate yourself. Look for answers. Ask questions. But make the decisions. And that's what MCHS Church is all about. And that's what Metaphysics Institute is all about. And the whole church and the whole school is built on the life leadership paragon. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will. And these three combine synergistically to create self-completeness. Be complete within yourself. Accept yourself. Be responsible. Accept responsibility for where you're at, where you're going. Respect other people. Respect free will. Not only your own, but others as well. And these all combine to make a person complete within themselves, which is a beautiful thing. Talk about enlightenment. Talk about self-actualization. That's what it is. And so I want to just to say a few words on that, go to mchschurch.org, read the Principles of Belief, and see if it doesn't resonate with you. If you have had a Christian upbringing, join the club. We all did, or most of us did. You know, that's fine. There comes a time in life when you outgrow that stuff. That is somebody else's belief system. That's somebody else's stuff, not your stuff necessarily. And so you have to really look within. Who are you now? Who do you want to be? Who do you want your children to be? What kind of an education do you want them to have? And there's a lot of pressures out there, you know, especially if your family's all of that belief system and you kind of take a different path. Yes, there's pressure there. Yes, there's some peer pressure is really what it is. And we have to get away from them esteem. And if you've heard any of these programs, you know that BEM esteem is basically external validation. We only feel good about ourselves when we're doing what other people think we should be doing. We advocate self-esteem, internal expectations, internal validation. We feel good about ourselves because of who we are and what we do. We validate ourselves. So I wanted to mention a few of those things and encourage you to read the Principles of Belief if you haven't, and if you have and it's been a while, read them again. You know, one race, one planet, one heritage, one destiny. We're all one race. You know, we need to accept each other. Do no harm. Do right. And that's all I got
which
on that.
All the basis. Well, Doug, it's all the basis of being a very good spiritual counselor. Because if you're going to help others, you know, you have to have a really good foundation in yourself and knowing who you are. And it's ask questions. Here's the thing. Anything that you believe in, if you can't ask questions, you ought not to be there. Go where you can get more answers. Keep asking the questions. Questions that intrigue you, interest you, that it because it builds you up. It makes you more than you were yesterday. You know, I really have this saying, at the end of every day, we have to ask ourselves, did I become a better human being today? That's also the mark of a good counselor. Anybody who's going to be in a helping profession, you know, aspire to being better than you were this morning, yesterday, the day before, and stay with some, you know, some really basic, good, solid, grounded thinking, feeling, inspiring principles for living. And that is exactly what MCHS Principles of Belief have. I'm just going to run through them, Doug, because you're
go
on
ahead.
A roll, and I just want
go
to support principle one. Do no harm, do right. Two is the indomitable power of the human spirit. Number three, we can solve our problems. Number four is we're all equal. Number five, honor the divine energy in all. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death. Number seven, self-completeness, exactly what you said earlier, Doug. Number 8, metaphysical education and life skills. Exactly what you're saying. And principle number 9 is metaphysics, human evolution, and peaceful coexistence. Mm-hmm. That's everything that I have ever truly believed in my life. And, you know, when I found MCHS and Doug Kelly and IMHS, I said, wow, somebody out there believes what I do. I don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's already there. So I was happy to get on board, and it really supported. And actually, I got to tell you, everybody's listening, it gave some really interesting clarity to a new language to the work that I've been doing for 40 years of my adult life. And this, you know, secondary gains, all those wonderful Doug calls nuggets, these wonderful little nuggets that is written into these principles and into the school. The them esteem, I'd never heard that before. That, what a beautiful way to say that, because it's exact in the fewest amount of words. And, you know, secondary gains, that's huge, because we're always benefiting some way in the most, even in the most dysfunctional, nasty, awful situations. We're still gaining something, and what is that? So that critical self-analysis, what is the benefit of any situation that we're in? And making decisions based on our ability to ask the questions about who we are. And it really is the individual's evolution. It's not Doug's way. It's not Vicky's way. It's not John Hightower's way. It's your own way. But inside all of us are these really wonderful basic understandings that I believe every soul comes to the planet with, and it's what we're going to work on ourselves and invest in to evolve, because we're not going anywhere without each other, really. We're not.
Good comments, and you know, and you're really touching on something that is absolutely crucial. You want to be a spiritual counselor, you want to be a life coach, great. The first place you start is with you, and that's why Metaphysics Institute, IMHS, it's why the curriculum is set like it is. And I've had people wonder, you know, gee, I'm, you know, why do I need to learn all this other stuff? Because it's a foundation. And you learn the life leadership paragon. You learn about self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and self-completeness in the second course. The first course is introduction to metaphysics. And then you start working on you. You learn about communication skills. You learn about relationship skills. You learn about critical thinking skills. And then you get into ordination, you get into advanced metaphysical topics like death and dying, quantum physics, and then you get into metaphysical psychology, 14 traits of human nature. All of those courses go into educating a student and being a great counselor, but the place it starts is with us individually. And I can't tell you, and you know, if you're listening to this, whether live or archive, hang with me. You know, I may say some things that you may not like depending on your background. But I want you to give me the benefit of the doubt. I want you to hang with me and listen to why I'm saying some of these things, because I don't say them lightly. I don't write lightly, and I don't speak lightly. You know, I can back it up compellingly. And the first place that you got to start if you want to be a spiritual counselor or life coach is with you. I cannot tell you, I can count on one hand the number of therapists, psychologists, or psychiatrists I've ever known in my life that don't need one. And I'm telling you, this is you can ask anybody in this industry. They know it. And they've got their issues. They've got their troubles. And they don't learn. And that's the point of the whole school, the whole Metaphysics Institute program for spiritual counseling, life coaching, is to help you get past those things that hold you back, help you to accept yourself, help you to deal with your own demons, help you to iron out those issues, help you to learn the basic life skills that you need to have healthy relationships. For example, don't give unsolicited advice. Don't try to control people. Don't try to change people. If people would just practice those latter two, the whole world would be a better place. Just stop trying to control and manipulate other people. Don't tell people what to do. And I'm talking about adults. You don't have the right. You know, don't try to change them. How many of us have gotten into relationships in the past with kind of eyes wide open? We know that they had their faults, but you know what? We can change them in time. We can be that positive force, and we can change them. Well, that's unhealthy. It never works. Nobody wants to be changed. Nobody wants to be controlled. We don't, but yet we continue to try to do that at times. So we need to learn these skills to know we need to be complete within ourselves in order to help other people. And if you don't iron out those issues within yourself, you will never rise to your full potential as a spiritual counselor or a life coach. You got to have your stuff together before you try to help somebody else. And that's the beauty of the IMHS Spiritual Counseling Coaching Program, is it, I tell you that. You got to do it. And I don't know what they teach in the academic colleges. They must not teach this, because there's a bunch of these psychologists, therapists, counselors, and so on that really need somebody to help them. And I just can't. I mean, I've got a friend. Well, Grant, he was on the show last week. Grant Rubin Dunst. He's a licensed He's a licensed mental health care counselor, and he'll be the first one to. In fact, he told me. He said one time years ago. He said, "Doug, you tell the difference between a therapist and a patient." I said, "No, how?" And he says that the patient gets better. I mean, Grant told me that. I mean, he's the mental health professional. And yet he understands that, and he's a good one, and he gets it. He knows human nature. So the point is here, the big point, the most crucial point of this entire program, if you want to be a spiritual counselor, if you want to be a coach, make sure you got your stuff in order. Make sure that you have addressed your demons, your issues, that you understand how to get along, how relationships work, how to communicate effectively, not only in emails, the written word, but also verbally. I understand how body language works. And with the IMHS degree program in spiritual counseling and coaching, you get a lot of great tools. You get an assertiveness profile you can use with your clients. You take it too, of course, as part of your studies. You will take a behavioral profile that you can also use for your clients. And there's such a beautiful course on this, life leadership coaching, I call it. It's transpersonal counseling and coaching combined, and it really shows you how to help people using the life leadership paragon. It's a great course. It's very intense, and there's a ton of meat in it, and there's no fluff in my courses. There's a lot of good points in it, and it shows you exactly how to deal with about any situation that you'll come across.
You know, I think that there's an old saying, Doug, that we teach what we most need to learn, and I think that's very true. The point that I am, or at least what we're most interested to learn about, how's that? I think what's really important for people to understand is that we're always changing, we're always growing. Be prepared to learn about yourself through your clients, things that you didn't see before. Whether that's some kind of a mirrored image or somebody triggers an issue in you, there's so many different ways I learn about myself through everyone I speak with, and I'm prepared to do that. I want to be more honest about myself. Sometimes we don't like it, you know. It bites. It really does bite. I mean, sometimes it's the pride, the ego, it's like a little embarrassment, perhaps. You know, we all have those little brushstrokes in our personalities that get challenged, and we have to be able to suck it up. That's what I say. You know, I gotta suck it up. Oh, here's another one I have to suck up. You know, it's okay to do that with ourselves, because we're always growing and changing. So this whole thing about learning about ourselves, you know, and being prepared to, it's not a matter of, if you got big issues, you should address those before you start, you know, helping the folks. But I got to tell you, I started out with some fairly significant issues when I was young. I could somehow be one-on-one with people and leave my issues, like, away from there. And I did that. Yeah, and I could do that because, number one, I was really interested in people. I really am interested in how they think, how they feel, and what's going on, and how to do that. But the other is I could leave my prejudice at the door. Mm-hmm. So if I could do that, I can debrief myself later to say, boy, what did I just learn through that about myself? You know, I'm there in the moment. I'm, you know, working with somebody to find new solutions, new options, or new pathways, or alternate pathways for themselves. If we don't like what we're seeing, you know, we want to change it. And I could later, you know, it's like, okay, there, but now later, I could reflect on not the client so much, because to me, when somebody leaves, they leave. That's good. I don't want to carry that energy with me. But if it's tweaked something in myself, which it has many, many times, I have to be prepared to look at what just got activated and keep growing. Because, you know, we can theoretically in our heads believe we got our crap together. Mm-hmm. But when we actually get in, when we get into the situation, we're emotionally triggered and all of our good thinking behavior goes right out the window. So this is where it's a constant of learning, applying, growing. You know, all of us, no matter how, we are in the helping profession. We're in the people business, and we want to keep helping. That also means that I'm not who I was last year, and some life skills actually have changed. I've gained some more, but I also see life a little differently. I'm a grandmother, so I see differently through a grandmother's eyes than I do a mother's eyes. You know, when I had young children, it's very different. So that wonderful benefit of age and growing and changing and continual work on myself makes me better, greater, more. I have a bigger toolbox. I love that. You know, I can serve people in a wider way because I can tune in and know, oh, you know what? I think this is the best tool for us to work with that I didn't necessarily have when I was young. But that didn't stop me when I was young from helping with what I had. So if that makes sense to people, we're just offering up what we can at the time, knowing that we have to own some more caca. and it's always going on.
So, you know, that just underscores the need for competent spiritual counselors and life coaches. And I know I threw out a couple of terms there, and I'm not sure everybody understands them. But what the IMHS degree program teaches is what I call life leadership coaching, and it's a transpersonal style of counseling and coaching. Transpersonal simply means spiritual. It's a spiritual aspect. It addresses the spiritual aspects of a person and their life, and it's got a very specific approach. I call it the event action sequence, and it basically is event, thought, bias, belief, and action. And there's a modification procedure that is taught in the degree program, the event action sequence modification procedure. It basically goes through triggers and biases and how to change some of these disabling beliefs. Talk about taking your emotional temperature. Some different tools are addressed, like force field analysis. There's a SWOT analysis chart, which is addressed, bookkeeping, record keeping, I should say, a system that will help you as a counselor. But the cool thing, the most cool thing, the best thing about this is basically learning what is at the heart and the core of most of the issues you'll ever address. And honestly, lack of self-acceptance and self-responsibility and respect for free will. But usually it's a lack of self-acceptance. In other words, self-esteem issues. And the whole point, the whole approach of life leadership coaching is to restore order and balance in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and therefore self-completeness. And that's, you learn how to do that. And you learn how to help people to achieve that balance. Of course, you've already been through all the courses that teach that. And as you go through these, you will learn to restore that balance, that order to your own life, to your own relationships. There's so many tools. There's so many points in the instruction. But that's just a great way to learn coaching and counseling.
You know, I might inject that there are a lot of various schools, schools of thought, certainly different kinds of training available out there now. People gravitate toward, I think, what they most need for themselves at that moment, but what also they're sold. A lot of people can get sold on a particular kind of style or way, you know. And hey, look, the new age movement has just, you know, what I'd really like to say about it, you know, it's really bred this salesmanship. And this is what people, I really want to caution people. Don't get sold on the latest trendy idea of what it is to become some kind of a spiritual counselor or some kind of pyramid hypnosis scheme, you know, because there's lots. They are everywhere. If you're going to start to investigate what you want to begin with, let's say, for yourself, well, first of all, I love the IMHS and MCHS, so I'm an advocate of that. But if you're going to start scouring around the internet and talking to your friends, there's a few really important things that I think you should look at. Who is behind it?
Yeah.
Who is behind this? Like, is it a credible people? Is it just, you know, three layers down something that's being imparted to you? I mean, who are these people? What's the matter of? I tell you one thing that I just detest, and I'm going to get on a big soapbox right now. If I have to go into a classroom and bleed my stuff all over and share my emotions, crying my face off, and doing this, you know, gestalt stuff in a room, I'm out. I think that this is dishonoring people. I think it's disrespecting people. I think that there should be a greater privacy to this. Then, because I think these people have emotional power over everybody. You get an emotional high, you know, you vomit all your stuff all over the place, you feel really got good, and, you know, they rah-rah in their big placards and pump you up. You go home on Monday or Tuesday, and you fall right on your face.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of different things to watch out for, everybody. And try to get good referrals where other people you have respect for have been through a program, for instance. If it's a weekend program or, you know, a once-a-week, 8-week course kind of thing, you know, because there's nothing like word of mouth and referral. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing. So what I would like to inject to tell people is anything in the universities, in these great, wonderful government-accredited schools, it's still a very Freudian approach to psychology. So you might come out understanding more about B.F. Skinner, Sigmund Freud, and, you know, all these great pioneers in the Second World War and thereafter about all their experimentations, but it doesn't necessarily give you any other contemporary or transpersonal skills. It linearized, I can't even say that word, Doug, what's the matter with me? It's a very linear approach. It's a very pragmatic, intellectual, dogmatic view of people and pigeonholing them, and nobody has to look at themselves when they go through 4 years of education in a university. Much like a doctor.
That's obviously, yeah.
Yeah, and much like a medical doctor does not study nutrition. Nutrition is not part of Western medicine's educational program. So there's these things to look out for, and just try to get your education as much as you can and widen your scope about what you're looking at. And I always say, do a little bit of research, get a wide picture, and then narrow in to take your first step. Take your first step forward. I know a lot of people these days are very encouraged to want to help others.
Mm-hmm.
Find where you belong. What is your particular ability? You know, one of the first things that good old Doug Kelly will make you ask when you start any kind of program is, what's your vision? What's your mission? Who are you? What do you hope to do? And it's a real big thinker. And I encourage all people, like, what do you want to do? Well, I really want to help people. Yeah, so what? You can, you know, go give a quarter to the guy in the corner. You helped him. Mm-hmm. So what is it you want to do? And be really honest about what your abilities are. What are you best at? Are you a good listener? Are you a good speaker? are you, you know, good at teaching people English as a second language? Because what's not good about that? You know, so there's many kinds of ways to help people. Just be really honest with yourself about where you belong in the big scheme of things, and then take the step. Because once you take, let's say, even a, hey, everybody wants to write a book, go take a writing course. You may not think you're so good after all.
You know? Yeah, so some good suggestions there. And so far we've talked about a few things. Number one, biggest thing, you got to get your own house in order before you really can help others effectively, before you can realize your full potential as a counselor or coach. And so that's a big one. And the beauty of the IMHS degree program is you're going to do that. You're going to go through the courses before you even learn about coaching and counseling. You're going to go through the courses to get your stuff together and learn the fundamentals of what you will later be helping other people to do the same thing. So it's an excellent education to do that. So you get your own house in order. And then as you go through the courses, you're learning different techniques, and then you get to the counseling and coaching course, you learn how to go about it, how to restore order in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, which results in self-completeness. You also learn the difference between psychotherapy and spiritual counseling and coaching. And unless you are licensed by the state or the government, wherever you reside, you learn who you don't help. And, you know, we don't teach you or train you to deal with mental illness. That is something that is outside of this particular discipline, and that's something you need to leave to those who are licensed by the state or the federal government. And that's really for legal reasons. You can't touch those. And so we teach you when to refer, you know, not to treat somebody outside of your expertise and training and licensing. So that's a huge point. There's the ethics involved that you learn. You know, go ahead, Vicki.
Can I just, like what you were just saying, that it's really important that when you're dealing with people, it's different. You must be able to recognize what's the difference between a temper tantrum and a mentally unbalanced behavior. I just wanted to insert that. Because, you know, when you talk about how to refer, when to refer somebody to, you know, a different kind of professional, one who can help, you have to be able to know the distinction. Mm-hmm. And this is what this training gives. And so I just want to insert that right in that talk.
Okay. Good point. And so as you go through and thinking about a career as a spiritual counselor, life coach, you know, as Vicki said earlier, you got a lot of choices. There's a lot of places that will teach it. What you want to do is choose the one that resonates with you. And that's why if you go and read the Principles of Belief at mchschurch.org, you'll learn what the school's based on. And if that resonates with you, then I would recommend you enroll at IMHS to learn your stuff. One of the things I'm going to tell you is, there's some of these schools where you can spend many thousands of dollars getting certified as a coach, a life coach, and even then they will, in my opinion, not quite train you properly, because a lot of times they will train you to not say a word in any kind of leading or directing, and of course we teach you not to lead the client, but there comes a point when there is direction that's necessary, and we teach you when. And a lot of them just basically, they're paid listeners, and that's not what coaching is. You're not a paid listener. I mean, I'd rather go talk to a brick wall. It's free. So you learn what the difference is. Another big factor that I stress, that I think a lot of people overlook, and I think a lot of courses overlook it, I stress this. Not only do you need to have your own stuff together to do it, but you need to draw on your own experience. And this is where critical thinking comes in as well. Draw on your own life experience. You look back over your life. Have you ever been in a toxic relationship? What did you learn? Are you still in one? Well, get out of it, and you'll learn the lessons. You'll learn what it takes to make those tough choices. Growing up, did you grow up in a dysfunctional family? What did you learn? Did you grow up in an alcoholic family? Did you grow up with codependence? Those are all life lessons that you should have been picking up, and I'm sure you did. What have you learned? You need to bring your own life experience to bear when you're doing coaching and counseling. For example, when you come to me, Doug Kelly, for coaching or counseling, you get something that you cannot get anywhere else from anyone else. You get Doug Kelly. And the very same thing is true with Vicki. You know, you get Vicki Hunter. And she's good. You know, she's the only one I'll go to if I need, you know, help. If I need meds, I can't go to her. But if I need help, you know, you get the point. She's competent. And yet she brings her life experience to bear and draws on those resources. And that's a huge, huge, huge thing. You got to think that way. You got to start looking, what have I learned in my life? What examples, what have I done in my life that can help this person? How has that experience helped me? Because that's all the courses are. They're based on my experience in life, the lessons I've learned, and they've been some doozies. And I've thought them through and have created models and I've created profiles and I've created all this stuff. And it works. And it's a healthy system. And it wasn't no accident. I'll give you that. And, you know, it wasn't, didn't just happen. It was deliberate.
Well, that's part of where, in saying earlier, people find out specifically what is it that you bring to the table? How can you particularly help? It's because we are bringing our life experience to it. I've often said this, people who have not had experience with alcoholics or alcoholism ought not to be the coach of the alcoholics or those around them, because it's all out of their heads, not out of their experience. You know, and again, healthfully having come through that for themselves to be able to say, you know what, I've learned a lot. I may have lots more to learn, but I've learned a lot, and this is something I can really impart to people who are dealing with addictions or those kinds of problems. So it's whatever we each, you know, I have my life, Doug has his life. I know where I'm kind of best suited, and I just fell into my life, and it keeps growing, expanding. I couldn't have imagined getting a doctoral in philosophy. It would not even have occurred to me a few years ago or in my entire life, and yet here I am, because I keep growing and learning, building on my life experience, because it's my pathway, as Doug has done, and really some remarkable writing in there, I might say. It's you know, I've been counseling people for 40 years, and yet when I, and yeah, it's another big plug for IMHS, but the Metaphysics Institute and what the material that Doug has written, it was an eye-opener for me, because we speak a different language, but that's good, because he really made me think. You know, it really poked at me a lot to see it from another angle, see things from another perspective, how to do a different kind of critical analysis that I hadn't done before. It made me better. It made me greater. It made me a better human being. And it also, I was able to take that into my work, to be a better counselor, to be able to offer myself to people in a better way. So, I mean...
Well, you said it earlier. You know, there's a language. It gives you a language to describe things. And, you, of course, you had language anyway. But this is something I've seen with a lot of students. They finally get the language to use to describe and to understand their experiences. They get the terms.
Very important stuff. Very important stuff. You know, we can know something vaguely, but geez, what's that? Whatchamacallit? Well, it's really good to know that that's a Roberts screwdriver instead of the, oh, hand me the whatchamacallit.
Phillips.
You know, yeah, oh, yeah, that one.
The Roberts. That's a unique one, yeah. That's recently out. It's kind of a high tech gadget. Just kidding. All right, so. All right, so
anyway, we learn a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, we do, and we get the language. Now, so we talked a little bit about what's involved in becoming a spiritual counselor, actually getting the training, getting the certification. Do you need training and certification to be a spiritual counselor or a life coach? The answer is no. You can just hang your shingle. It's not regulated. Spiritual counseling, you really need to be ordained, which is something you get along with your IMHS degree. You get ordination, MCHS Church. But coaching, it's you don't have to get certified. There's no law that says you have to. It's worth it to get the training, though, unless you want to reinvent the wheel. And so check the programs out. Go to metaphysicsinstitute.org. Look for the spiritual counseling and life coaching training. You learn both through the degree program and just whatever direction you want to go, or both. And that's the next point I want to talk about. So many of my students want to help other people. They have this sincere, genuine desire to help others, like we all do. They want to help people, and that's a noble endeavor. It really is. And so they come, and they're taking courses and all that to educate themselves better and learn these life skills and so forth. The cool thing about it is that many of them are more eclectic, more broad. They want to have different tools in their toolbox to use at any given time. So that's when, you know, there might be a time when you use spiritual counseling with a client. There might be another time when you're just doing some coaching. You're helping them overcome some things holding them back, or helping them to achieve some business goals, etc. There might come a time when you want to use hypnosis, which is another thing you can get certified in at IMHS. You get certified in hypnosis a lot of places. Do you need to be certified in hypnosis to actually do it? No. But with hypnosis, you really better get your training. The reason is that you can't just call yourself anything. You know, like, for example, so many of them call themselves hypnotherapists. Well, you may not be able to do that in a particular, any particular state. For example, in Florida, you don't use the word therapy in anything unless you were a licensed, state-licensed therapist. That's a protected title, and there are many other states like that. So you don't use hypnotherapist. You're a hypnotist, and a lot of people don't like that, but that's what it is, certified hypnotist. And so you have to be aware of the legalities of it. Hypnosis is not regulated per se, but you've got to know what you can treat and not treat. And I use that word actually probably wrongly. You can't treat phobias unless you're licensed by the state, a mental health counselor. So you don't do that stuff. But you got to know what you can do and what you can't do. And that's over and above knowing actually how to hypnotize somebody. And frankly, that's pretty easy. I mean, anybody can learn to do that. But you learn all the terms. So you've got hypnosis. You learn how to use it. It's another tool in your toolbox. And with the IMHS program, it's, again, a great course on hypnosis. You learn about a lot of different things, including the legalities, the techniques, a lot of techniques. You get practice. It's solid. It, just like everything else there, it's solid. So you've got all these tools. Go ahead.
It's a good time maybe just to give a brief explanation of what hypnosis is, Doug.
Go ahead.
Like just
unless
well,
you want
you,
me
go
to.
Ahead.
Okay.
Cool. No,
oh,
go
sure.
ahead. I'm
yeah,
just
you
saying.
Do it. Okay. Hypnosis.
You do it.
Hypnosis. It's so funny, you know. Hypnosis to a lot of the religious people is, you know, something from the devil, and it's part of the occult, and that could not be further from the truth. I mean, even my estranged family thinks, you know, it's part of the devil's stuff. It's not. It's nothing more than controlled daydreaming. Hypnosis is about your control over you, not somebody else's control over you. The hypnotist is just a facilitator. They're not the person controlling. And so many people think about, well, yeah, but I'm going to cluck like a chicken and all that other stuff. No. That's stage hypnosis. Everybody's there for a good time, and even the people that go up on the stage are having a good time. They're party to that. You cannot make somebody do something under hypnosis that they wouldn't do otherwise. You know, nobody can hypnotize you to go rob a bank unless you're a bank robber. Then they probably wouldn't have to hypnotize you. Just go do that, right? So hypnosis is nothing more than controlled daydreaming. We go in and out of hypnosis several times a day. You ever been driving down the road and you missed your exit because you were deep in thought? You were hypnotized. That's exactly what it is. You ever been watching TV, really into a TV show, and somebody comes in the room or goes out of the room and you don't even notice? That's hypnosis. It's simply focused relaxation. And, you know, you use the language of the mind, visualization. It's fascinating, and it's fun.
So it's just a state of mind.
It is.
It's just a state of mind.
It's basically deep relaxation. Are you asleep? No. Sometimes we use the word sleep, but that's because the English language lacks a word for it. But you're entranced. You're deeply relaxed, but you're still in full control. And it's just a great thing. It's a great state to be in, honestly. And we go in it just before you go to sleep. And when you come out of sleep, when you wake up in the morning, you're going in and out of that hypnagogic, that alpha state, hypnopompic state. So it's a cool thing. And if you know it, you got another tool in your toolbox. So, you know, if you're a spiritual counselor, life coach, hypnotist, and some of my students also are do Reiki, others do different forms of energy healing and so forth, holistic healing. So you got a number of tools that you can use. Good stuff.
Which is all important to know when you want to actually get some help yourself. It's important to, I think, research a little bit, which is part of what we're going to talk about tonight, too, in this next part, is when you feel like you really need help, you know, where do you look? Where do you go? And it's finding somebody healthy to help you out. I always say that if somebody's been in therapy 20 years and they're still the same, they've just been commiserating.
They've been paying somebody a lot.
Yeah, can't you find a friend for that? You know? So if you're really sincere about you need some help with something, then you go somewhere where you can actually get help to make some progress. And I would say up and over, up and forward, you know, move up and forward. And so it's if you want to seek out a hypnotist, then do you trust their views, it's huge trust. It really is.
It's all about trust and hypnosis.
Yeah. So it's like finding a doctor, and it's how do you feel when you're with them? Are you willing to just take the prescription and go home and get the medication, or do you really want to get to the bottom of it? And can you work with somebody to get to whatever it is in there that you want to acknowledge and move forward with? So I think that that's really important, whether it's a spiritual counselor, life coach, or a hypnotist in any of these ways, is the trust and make sure that it's somebody who can help you move forward. Mm-hmm. When you say it, Doug?
Absolutely. And it has to be somebody you feel comfortable with. It's no different than choosing a therapist or a doctor, as you said. You need to find somebody that you feel comfortable with, that you feel that you can trust, that will help you, just like you said. And so, you know, there are various people around in your locale. I'm sure there's life coaches. I'm sure there's spiritual counselors. Of course, when it comes to spiritual counseling, unless you want to go down to the church or unless you belong to a church, you know, it's going to probably be a little tougher to find a spiritual counselor. You should be able to find one. Of course, you're listening to two of them right now. And so if either Vicki or myself resonate with you, we're available for that. Vicki is a phenomenal counselor, and the thing I love about Vicki is she pulls different modalities, different things as necessary, and she's got a wonderful sense of bringing that on the table, bringing it in a very grounded way of looking at it, very, you know, no BS way of looking at it, in such a way that it really makes you think, and that's so often necessary. So you know, if you're looking for a competent spiritual counselor, coach, psychic reader, all of the above, all combined, you know, get a hold of Vicki. Go to VickiHunter.com look up her information and contact her. And don't say,
well, thank you for that. But, you know, this is
plug.
The thing, though, Doug. People, well, and I appreciate that very
I'll
much.
I'll fill you later,
you
okay?
Either like that's funny. Okay, you get commission. You either like me or right. You don't, you know? And this is, again, I'm not for everybody. I'm really not. I just got fired as a teacup reader. So, no, it's, seriously, it's funny because, you know, it's a personality thing, right?
Right.
I mean, that's why John's laughing in the chat room, everybody. It's you either fit or you don't. It's either good or it's not. I do not take this to heart whatsoever. If somebody says, Vicki, you're just not for me, I would rather you up front say that to me than, you know, us going through anything painful or me thinking I haven't finished my job with you when you just disappeared because you didn't like me. That's okay to not like me. Mm-hmm. It's really okay. You know, I have this thing, we can't like everybody. I love humanity. That doesn't mean I like everybody and vice versa. And that's where I know who I am. Mind you, I always say, if you know who I am, you got to love me. Because really, But it's being able to just plug in with somebody that you feel you can resonate with. You know, we have a question here in the chat room. I think we should
have
time to address it.
Actually, let's wait just a moment to get clarification on it, if you wouldn't mind. But on the hypnosis.
Oh, I do know the answer. I do know that answer to that.
Okay, now we got clarification. Go ahead, Vicki.
What are your thoughts about positive changes, which it should have a quote-unquote, the hypnosis clinics and other businesses like them? And I know you had asked, is positive changes the name of the business? Yes, it is. This is these types of, it's not the only one around, by the way. I have researched some of these businesses. It's kind of likened to, although they would be very upset with me for saying this, it's likened to a pyramid thing where, or the Reiki thing, or anywhere else where anybody can go in and basically take their courses. I'm not going to say that these courses in any way is negative. It's really still about the people taking the courses and whether or not you like them to be able to go to them and work with them. So what are my thoughts on them? I think it's wonderful that hypnosis is becoming more of a household name. I think that's great. There's always that tipping point, you know, where it can go over the edge. It's like the word New Age. What is New Age? And it got really hokey. So, you know, with all things, there's yin and yang and up and down and around and backwards. So I think it's great. I think we're better.
it comes back down to it, to, you know, choosing a counselor, coach, hypnotist. Find somebody that you feel comfortable with, that you feel can help you, and then use them. You know, that's the whole thing. It's no different than choosing a doctor, as you said earlier. Just find somebody, and, you know, and they're around. People are around. And just because, for hypnosis, it's better if it's in person. And usually that's the way you go. There's only rare times I'll do hypnosis using Skype or something. Very rare. But typically that's in person. But counseling and coaching can be done via Skype, can be done on the phone, and very effectively, I might add. So, you know, if you're looking for that kind of a thing, you know, you don't need to necessarily find somebody in your own locale. If you want to, that's fine too.
I inject just one?
Yeah, real quick.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The thing, what we do, I think what we have to be, I think the hypnosis clinics are pretty good about being informative and careful.
Mm-hmm.
I think what doesn't give so much attention to that are things that give these crash course life skills coach things. You know, I'm a life coach now, or I'm a, you know, these kinds of things. I'm a little more suspect. I have done my research on them. And I really would ask people to find out what the programming is and what is it that these people teach before you invest your many thousands of dollars. So I just wanted to say that for a minute.
All right. We have a caller. Barbara has a question for Vicki. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Kelly. May
you have a question for Vicki? Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yes. Vicki, my question to you, and also Dr. Kelly, in the mainstream of, in the mainstream of the workforce, will our students be able to find a regular job in the mainstream of employment, or are we different?
Some of us are really different, Barbara.
I think this is where the associations come in, Doug, and you're probably the best qualified to answer that question.
Well, Barbara, if I understand you correctly, let me clarify it. Are you saying if you get the coaching, counseling, hypnosis training. Can you go get a job with that? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay.
In the mainstream of employment, will anyone hire us?
Oh. If you get a, the short answer is...
Maybe?
Yeah. You know, no, the short answer is... Well, let me explain what you can do. Maybe that will answer the question. When you get certified as a counselor, coach, or hypnotist, you can go to some business that does that and probably get a job there. Can you go to can you go do what a licensed mental health professional does? Not without getting licensed. But you can open up your own practice. You can, and that's the whole point of that, is opening up your own practice and doing coaching and counseling. You can work out of your home if you want. You can do the phone call thing. If you have a nice room in your home, you could also take people personally if you wanted to, and that's discussed in the IMHS degree program and the cautions and so forth that go with it. Another thing you could do is... chiropractors are typically pretty open-minded, and a lot of them will probably have you come in and offer some hypnosis here and there, that kind of a thing. I mean, that's possible. I've actually had that done that. So there's...
You know, if I can add in, just to clarify, if Barbara is asking, can I go to ABC Corporation and will they hire me as as a counselor / human resources / whatever, the answer is likely no.
Right.
Can they farm work out to me under their insurance plans? No, because I'm not a member of a psychologist or psychiatric association or a mental health association, because those associations have their own clubs, their own membership things that you get certified in theirs. We have our own club.
And, we have a club,
and
too.
So, yeah, we have a club. It's IMPA, and mm-hmm. Doug can tell you more about that in a second. But what we have to be really careful about is to understand how the system or how the government and everything underneath works. And once we get a grasp of that, you know, we're okay. But IMPA is, go ahead, Doug.
International Metaphysical Practitioners Association, and it just kind of gives you some credibility. Barbara, we're running out of time. I hope that helped with your question. Did it?
Yes, very much.
Well, great.
Thank
you so much for calling in, and I hope you have a great night.
Okay.
And, you know, Doug, not everybody agrees with our spirituality and our universality and our philosophies, so
right. That
is another thing to consider, that very often there's judgment in these cases, so line. You know, it's been another great show. We're out of time. I can't believe that out.
Yeah, it went pretty fast, but we appreciate everybody listening. Thank you to Dr. John Hightower for screening calls. Thanks to everybody for listening, those listening to the archives. Please, if you like what you're hearing, please spread the word. MCHSChurch.org, MetaphysicsInstitute.org if you'd like to get your degree in spiritual counseling, coaching, hypnosis, paranormal science, parapsychology, metaphysical science, and a bunch of others. All the information is there on the site. So with that, tune in next week. We'll have another topic that we'll get into and have another
thanks,
discussion.
Thanks, John.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks,
Let the
see
music take us
you.
Out. Good night, everybody.
Yeah,